Good afternoon, everyone. A few months ago, one of our friends from Hiroshima Stakiri, Hiroshima North Church, Hiroshima Kita Kiristo Kyokai, came and visited us, and he said that he was getting married, and his wife is from Singapore. Is that right? Singapore. Malaysia. He is also Malaysian, Chinese, Malaysian Chinese, and that he would be moving into the same neighborhood as me and my wife Naomi. And I said, "Oh, show me a picture of your wife to be." And he showed me the picture, and I said, "You are a very lucky man." And they finally moved into our neighborhood, and they've come and visited our church for the first time today. I'd like you to welcome right there, John and Emily. Right there, please. Yes. Welcome to our church, and please feel welcome, and don't be shy. Yeah. Okay. One quick announcement before we get into the message today, and that is tomorrow we'll have mountain worship, and starts at 7:30 p.m. And the place is always hard to describe, so we finally are able to get a map of the place. And it's downtown near Hondori, off of Hondori, right by Anderson Bakery, and just down the street. There's the 7-Eleven, and just down the 7-Eleven, you'll see a big old school building. And kind of part of that school, there's a thing called the Hiroshima Shimin Koryu Plaza. And it looks like this. This is the artist rendering. Okay, so I hope that's easy to understand. And, yeah. Okay. That is tomorrow. As some of you already know, maybe a few of you don't, our dear brother Ed died of a heart attack while he was at work last Monday morning. He had planned on going to the doctor, actually, to have a cough checked. And he went to work in the morning, had a meeting, and was last seen leaving his office carrying some boxes, and then was found collapsed by a gate at his factory where he works in Eba. He died shortly after in the Hiroshima City Hospital, and soon after that his wife was able to see him, or his body, at the hospital. His name was Ed Frawley. He was a tall man, and his wife Christy was the lady, they were the husband and wife that often came and sat at the back of our service, mainly at the back because of the air conditioning and because they were so tall, they didn't want to sit in front of anybody. This was a very sudden and tragic news for us as a body, and I thought that although we had our memorial service for him last Friday, not all of us were able to attend that service, so I was advised by our other pastors to take this as an opportunity today to reflect on the balance of life and death and the importance of living a full life. And I feel that it would be of some benefit to us to read a couple of his tribute letters. Many letters have come in, emails from around the world, literally, in tribute to our dear brother Ed. And I'd like to read a couple of those. One was a letter written by our pastor Kevin, who led the couple's Bible study that Ed and Christy attended. And the other letter is by Corey and Amy Ducklow. You might know them. And they were also members of the Bible study that Christy and Ed were part of, and that letter was not able to be read at the memorial service because of time restraints. So I felt today or now would be a good time to do that. Let me start with Pastor Kevin's letter. I have it up there for you, and I'll just be reading it out loud. One night, the big man we had seen in the English service showed up at the Wednesday night Bible study with his wife, Christy. He was, of course, big, smiling, and committed to our group and to Christy and to Jesus Christ. We knew by his powerful handshake, his great smile, and by the way he prayed. On Wednesday nights, we often prayed in a round at the end of our study, mentioning the needs of the group, healing, financial, and especially for those to come to Christ. Ed knew there were those in our group who might not understand what it meant to be a Christian. Yet he prayed so straightforward, so unwaveringly, for God to help those who were not Christians to trust in him. One night, the big man we had seen in the English service showed up at the Wednesday night Bible study with his wife, Christy. He knew he was not perfect, but that Jesus could and would rescue. On that point, Ed, our big, loving brother, would never wave, never waver. As a family, Midoriya and the boys and I remember his prayer requests, his telling of stories of his family, always done with the most wonderful smile. Wherever God was on Ed, God was in his wonderful smile. Amen. Ed and Christy together would testify at our church about how God had always been faithful and that God would continue to be faithful, and that Ed was so very thankful that his family was praying on behalf of him and his family. At the Swallow home in Iwakuni, last Christmas, we had a men's night out. We ate so much, fellowshipped so much, and laughed so much. Almost all of the men from our Bible study had come. One thing we laughed about was when Ed had fallen asleep during movie night at our couple's Bible study one particular Wednesday night. Somehow, Big Ed managed not to snore, and we all had a great laugh at the big hulk of a man sleeping just under the TV. Lastly, a few months ago, after I had preached a sermon here at Mitaki on thanks, Ed seemed more eager to thank me for the message than anyone else. He came up to me afterward and said this: There are a lot of things I am not, but one thing that God has made me is thankful. I am a thankful person. Thank you for preaching that message today. Ed was always grateful that God had saved him and was so eager in his busy world to see that others would come to know Jesus. He often talked of his weaknesses, and for that very reason, he longed to see others meet Jesus, the only one who could make a difference in their lives. And all this, Big Ed said with a smile that no one else could duplicate. Oh, how much we will miss our brother Ed. Ed and Christy, we love you. Pastor Kevin. This is the letter from Corey and Amy Ducklow, who are now back in Detroit, Michigan. Like everyone, we were in shock over Ed's passing Monday. We are sorry we could not be there in person to deliver this, but we are with you in spirit. We really got to know Ed and Christy at the couple's Bible study. We cherish the memories of that time we spent with them. That group was a treasure. God certainly had his hand on drawing us together so we could worship together and offer love and support to each other. When we think of Ed, we think of how he was a strong Christian with sound views. His interpretation of verse was down to earth and easily to applied to our own lives. I'm sure his faith was the foundation of his level-headedness and easygoing nature. No matter what the hardship, Ed always had a positive prayer request to help the situation. Everyone who knew Ed recognized his love of children. He was just a big kid himself. Whether it was wrestling with Nathan and Haley at okonomiyaki lessons or shooting off fireworks with Trenton, his playful nature shined through. The entire family will sincerely miss Ed. We will forever, forever remember him. We want to share a poem with you that came to mind and hope it offers some comfort to you. With all of our love, Amy, Corey, Nate, and Haley. The poem is titled, What God Has Promised. God has not promised skies always blue, flowers strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. God has not promised we shall not know toil and temptation, trouble and woe. He has not told us we shall not bear many a burden, many a care. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the laborer, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. For me, I knew Ed just from Sunday afternoons here at church. And I just remember having many conversations with him. There was no one particular conversation with Ed that really stood out for me. I just remember always enjoying every conversation we had. I enjoyed our conversations for two simple reasons. The first reason is that Ed was my height. He was 6'4", and I'm 6'4". And there's just nothing like being able to talk to someone at eye level. And you can see eye to eye. It's nice, you know, in this country especially. And the second reason is when you talked to Ed and you looked into his eyes, you had the sense that he had nothing to hide. As Bob Graciano said, the one word that he would use to describe Ed is genuine, true, honest. And that is exactly the word that I would use as well. Being as sincere as I possibly can, without falsehood, without pretense, without fake humility, without this sense of I'm important or self-importance. That is the one thing that I truly admired about Ed. And I know that Ed himself was a very important man. Just judging from how many people came from his company, Mitsubishi Heavy Industries, just to the memorial service on Friday. Lots of people came. And also from what I heard about how, the day after he died, the company shut down the entire factory for a day to shut down the operations on Tuesday in order to honor him. And as well as what I heard about the memorial that they had for him in Nagoya on Thursday, Ed was not at the bottom of the list in terms of his role in his company. He was a very important man in a very important company. But you never got that impression when you talked to him. It was just like talking to a really, genuinely, truly nice guy. And that's why it was always such a pleasure to talk with him. Two scriptures come to my mind this week. And the first one deals with the unexpected nature of Ed's death. The second scripture deals with the way in which this church family, both locally and abroad, responded to Christie's need this week. The first scripture comes from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. It's very simple. It just says, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." Let's read that together. Ready? Go. "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." It's interesting how in life, some things come in waves. In waves. This year, in my own personal life, it's strange, but I've had to confront, I've had to deal with death more frequently than I've ever had in my whole memory. First was the death of the president of my university in Southern California. It was this last June, and he had just retired after 25 years of service at my university. And he also died of a heart attack. Second was the sudden and tragic death of my good friend Jamila, her brother in Jamaica, whom you've read about in our bulletin. Her brother died of a drowning, and our church lovingly raised the funds for her and her family to travel back to Jamaica. Next was the second memorial anniversary of my wife's grandfather's death, which we attended about 3 weeks ago. And then now there's Ed's passing this week. So, you know, it's interesting how, you know, in life things come in waves. You know, and I feel like this week, just in my personal life, I've experienced almost a wave of death. And when this happens, it's crucial to try and listen to what God might be telling you with the timing of circumstances in our lives. So as I was reflecting on the nature of these four deaths that I mentioned, the first thing that I observed is that each of them was unexpected. Two were heart attacks, Ed and my university president. One was a kind of a stroke, a brain infarction is what it's called. And the other was an accident, a drowning. Now, while some deaths may come slowly, you know, through illness or through health, and other deaths come somewhat expectedly, like in a war, many times death is unexpected. We can't plan for it. We don't know when it's going to happen. Proverbs 20:24 says, "A man's steps are directed by the Lord. How could anyone understand his own way?" It is not for us to judge whether we have lived a complete life or not. Ultimately, it is God's judgment. And when He decides we've done enough in this life, then He will bring us into the next life. In the end, we really don't know when God will choose to call us home. You know, God has been impressing on me this year that each and every moment that I spend with people that I love is a gift that I must continually be thankful for. I need to enjoy loving people and being loved as much as possible. I need to live my life as abundantly as possible. And for Christians, this is not possible without Christ living in us. Jesus talked about His relationship with us, saying that He came so that our life could be lived richly with meaning and purpose and hope and power. In John chapter 10, verse 10, He says that I have come that they, us Christians, may have life and have it to the full. The second main scripture that came to my mind is one that Pastor Kevin shared with us just last week from 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. He preached on this last week, if you remember. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This verse comes to my mind when I think about all of the ways that this church family came together to help and meet and minister to Christie's needs. Naturally, there was the outpouring of support from Ed's company and from the Hiroshima International Women's Club, which Christie, I think, was a member of. And also, Christie's best friend from Washington came all the way out at a moment's call to be with her. But the amount of emails and phone calls that went back and forth this week showing support and offering whatever kinds of assistance really touched me as one of the pastors here. There were those of us who are overseas who continually sent emails, made phone calls, and offered support in many ways. There were those of us here who offered their time to be with Christie for spiritual support or to help her with the practical needs of packing up and moving everything in such a short time. And there are also those of us here who only knew Ed and Christie from just, you know, seeing them at church here a few times, or maybe had an occasional chat with him or Christie during the fellowship time. But you were still willing to help at the memorial service, whether it was helping with the parking or with a reception. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with action. And in truth. And I really feel that Christ fulfilled this scripture in this church this week. And for that I'm thankful. I lift up a prayer of thanksgiving to our Lord that He manifested His love to Christie through this church family. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we know who is with You at this very moment, happier than he will ever have been. And Lord, we rejoice in this hope. We take comfort in this truth. And Father, for those of us who feel the emptiness of this loss in our lives, we thank you, Lord, that we feel this way, knowing that it's because we love him so much. And Lord, we thank you also for your presence with us, your strength in us, your hand upon us. We thank you also for your presence with Christy, your comfort upon Christy. Lord, both in her friend and in her son who is here with her. Lord, today as she's trying to get the last of her big furniture out and going through the last day of life here in Japan, we pray that you would be by her. And Lord, your word would remain in her mind and in her heart. Father, for her as she goes tomorrow with Ed's body and with her friend and son back to Washington, we pray for traveling safety, and we pray that as she closes the chapter here in Hiroshima and Japan, that you would give her peace that transcends all understanding, Lord. And Father, this week, as she's going to be preparing for the funeral next Saturday, we trust that all those details, all the hectic things that will need to get done, will be done in a timely and even a blessed manner, Lord. We thank you for that. Father, for us here who continue our lives, Lord, that you would put the memory of Ed continually in our hearts so that we would not forget him and that we would honor you as we remember him. Lord, for these things we would thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.